Welcome to Wildlife Outdoors with your host, Russell and Jose. If you have a passion for conservation of the outdoors, or you're enjoying a calming hike in the mountains, an exhilarating kayak trip on the river, feeling a fish on the end of your line, cooking on an open flame in a primitive campsite, or stalking big game, just waiting for the perfect shot, you're in the right place. So put on your boots and polarized sunglasses and come along for the ride.
What's going on, everybody? And welcome back to another Wildlife Outdoor podcast episode. My name is Jose, and we're joined, as always, with Russell. Today is going to be a little bit different, I suppose, a little bit shorter. Perhaps this time we actually might try and make this shorter because we have some stuff to do today, this evening. But yeah, man. So college football. This past weekend was pretty interesting, dude.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about? I mean, obviously, Longhorn fans, we're pretty excited. But dude, it was insane. I honestly didn't think we were gonna make the cut.
I was hopeful we were gonna make it. I was hopeful we were gonna make the cut, but I didn't expect us to land at the 3 spot. And to be completely honest, the way that I wish it would have gone is I wish Florida State would have made it in at number 3. And I wish we made it in at number 4. Something doesn't feel right about Florida State being undefeated and snubbed. Although I was hopeful that they wouldn't make it because that means Texas would have come in. But seeing that they dropped completely out and Alabama still made it in, I would much rather Florida State be in than Alabama be in. Mm-hmm. So I would say perfect world scenario after looking at everything. 1 Michigan, 2 Washington, 3 Florida State, 4 Texas is what I personally would have loved to see. The strength of the schedule and stuff like that plays into a lot of stuff. The fact that, you know, their quarterback's injured, like that plays into it. And it's all into, you know, money and you know, viewability of the games. And so throwing in a Florida State against a Washington, who knows what would have happened, but it most likely would have been not as exciting to watch as a Texas Washington or a Bama Michigan. So the fact that we're in, I'm excited, but I think Texas got the worst case scenario because our secondary is our weak spot. Like, we are a round team. Like, we have skill everywhere. Secondary is our downfall. And the thing about that is Washington is a big play factory. I mean, Michael Penix Jr. is going to pick apart our secondary, and he has numerous targets over the top, and that's our weak spot. So it'll be an exciting game. I could see it going either way. It'll be an exciting game. I feel like it'll be a thrilling game. I think it's going to be a great game, although I think Washington is probably going to take it. We just don't have the secondary to keep up with their over-the-top abilities. Our defense is stout, but our weak spot is their strength. So it's going to be tough there. I think Bama's going to beat Michigan, unfortunately. I was pulling for Michigan. I was pulling for a Texas-Michigan game just because Root's family's all Michigan, and I feel like that'd be a fun game. But I'm afraid that Bama's defense is going to be too much for Michigan's struggling offense. So if Michigan can't get it figured out on the offensive side of the ball, then I think they're going to lose, and it'll most likely be a Bama-Washington championship. Although I hope it's a Texas Michigan championship. I mean, it can really go anyway, but I see it being a Bama Washington game. What do you think?
Oh man, dude. Well, first, if there's any listeners of ours that are Florida State fans, I feel for y'all. It is tough because I think, while as unfortunate as it was that they lost their starting quarterback, Florida State was looking stellar throughout the season. Mm-hmm. Their defense was playing lights out the last couple games without their starting QB, and I think it's a large reason why they were able to keep winning. And it does kind of suck that you guys got kicked out, being undefeated, just because of one person. You know, it's unfortunate, and I think really what it comes down to is just a business decision. It's just a business decision, which is unfortunate because I think y'all have earned at least a spot in the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, it's but I think what they're trying to do is prevent something like last year's championship where TCU just got utterly obliterated.
Yeah.
And everyone was saying, yeah, they should never have been there and this and that. And it was a big controversy and everything. And also, like, UT has ties with every team that is in the playoff right now. Like,
yeah,
they beat Michigan in the Rose Bowl the year before they went to the championship, I believe. That was, mm-hmm. I don't know if they've played since, but big game on a big level. And UT won that one. And then UT played Washington, I think it was last year.
And yeah, in a bowl game and got beat. Yeah.
So this is kind of a redemption game. So that'll be that I think is gonna be really fun to watch. I'm hoping for UT to win, but like you said, Washington's been playing really, really good. I think they're gonna be coming after the secondary really hard. I wouldn't be surprised if they pull off the victory. But I do think it's gonna be close. I think it's gonna be a tough game for both teams, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Washington pulls away with that one. And then, of course, yeah. UT and Bama. The last time UT was in the championship, they played Bama, mm-hmm. and they lost when Colt McCoy got that stinger in the shoulder.
Yep.
And then
from a late hit, from a late hit after the play.
and then the last couple times they've played Bama, you know, they lost a close one. Then they won this year, the only loss that Bama has had. And then now they have potentially an opportunity to meet once again in the championship. So, which would be insane if that were to happen. I would love to see that game personally. Again, for just a redemption from when they last lost, when they were in the championship last. I forgot what year. So, yeah, it just, you know, it does suck because if that would have happened to UT, oh, my God, dude, I'd be furious, you know.
It would be some crap if Alabama wins the Natty this year because, I mean, just looking at it, so they've looked pretty solid, you know. Yeah. More in the middle of the season, they look better. They lost to Texas, and then at the end, like, they almost lost to Auburn right before the SEC championship, which mm-hmm. Auburn hasn't looked good. Alabama struggled with Arkansas. And both Auburn and Arkansas are under 500 this season. So Alabama has struggled. And then, of course, they upset Georgia and they make it. And so they've had a lot of ups and downs this season. And it would just be crazy to think that they should have lost Auburn. That game should have been over. If Auburn would not have dropped that punt, and or even if they recovered it after they muffed it, like, that game would have been over. Bama wouldn't have made it in the playoff. And Auburn struggled with, who is it, like NC State or something like that before, like, and that was a piss poor ugly game on Auburn's end, and then to turn around and almost upset Bama, like, it wasn't looking good for Bama, and then they beat Georgia and now they're in. It's just it would be some shit if Bama goes and wins it all. Like, it would just be nuts. I don't see it happening, but it's a likelihood, you know, especially with them being slotted up against Michigan and Michigan's offense not doing that great.
Yeah. I don't even know what that would mean for, like, the college football. Well, it doesn't matter because it's not going to be this is the last year for the 14 playoffs. So I was going to say, I don't know what that would mean in the future for the committee picking playoff teams. Cause if Bama were to sneak in and then just win it all, that'd be wild.
Yeah,
but on in that same vein, I think aside from these games, the other one to really pay attention to is going to be the Florida State Georgia game.
Yeah,
because if Florida State wins, then it's just going to undo everything that the committee had thought and took into consideration to pick the top four.
Exactly.
That game is going to, it's just, oh man, there's a lot riding on that game. It's insane.
But it's then think insane. About the opposite. What if Georgia wins and just completely mops the floor with Florida State? And then what if Michigan mops the floor with Alabama? Then that's going to be like, well, okay, well, Georgia did belong in there. Alabama obviously didn't. And then we made the right decision with Florida State. So, dude, I mean, it can go so many different ways. That's what I love so much about college football is there's always going to be an upset. And it's just so freaking exciting.
Yeah, I agreed. And there are some things about college football, like, the ranking system I don't quite agree with at times. I mean, it's the playoff committee selection, like this whole thing, this whole scenario. Again, it can go either way. It can either justify why they chose not to include Florida State, but can also you know, be like, all right, well, we kind of fucked up.
But, yeah.
You know, it's just so, I don't know, man. It's so interesting, and I'm really excited to see what happens. But damn, dude, I can only imagine what's going to happen if Florida State mops up, just beats, you know, Georgia.
Yeah.
And if Alabama, like you said, gets mopped, you know, gets destroyed, what is that going to mean? And
yeah,
at least now, you know, the college football landscape, at least for the playoffs, is going to look totally different next year, which mm-hmm. I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see how that will turn around, because, I mean, I don't know, man. Usually the top four teams, it's pretty clear who's gonna be in the top four. Everybody kind of has an idea.
Yeah.
This year it was tough. There were more than four teams who should have had the opportunity to be in the college football playoff.
There were 6 to 8 teams that were deserving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this year was incredibly difficult. And of course it was the last year that they're having the four playoff team.
Yeah.
Or 4-team playoff. So it's kind of funny how that worked out. But yeah, man, my heart goes out to the Florida State fans. And I like watching Florida State play. I've loved watching them play since I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it does kind of suck that they missed out. If UT does not win the championship, I think, does not go to the championship, if I had to pick one team to go for, it would probably be, I think I'd like to see Washington win it all, honestly.
Same. Washington or Michigan. I want to see, if UT doesn't make it, I want to see Michigan do it. I've always liked Michigan, and we talked about this a little last episode. I've always liked them. And, you know, I love traditional schools. Alabama has been good for so long, and for them to be 8th the week before the playoff committee chooses the top four teams, and then if they were to make it in and win it all, like, it would just, I don't know what it is, it'd piss me off. Washington has been good. Michael Penix is a freaking beast, so I could see him doing it, but I just want to pull for Michigan if it's not Texas. But, I mean, it can really go either way. But either way, I mean, everything's looking up as a UT fan. You know, we bid adieu to the Big 12 this year in an amazing fashion. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you hear what the Big 12 commissioner said prior to the Tech game?
No, I didn't.
So he pretty much told Tech not to let Texas win because we can't let Texas leave like that. Like, was basically talking shit about Texas, right? And so we went out and then we beat Tech. Well, then whenever we won the Big 12 championship, and the commissioner had to hand the trophy over to Sark, the entire stadium started booing the Big 12 commissioner, right? And then so Sarkisian was like telling him, you know, calm down and, you know, be quiet. Well, then all the entire stadium started chanting SCC, SCC. And I just thought it was hilarious because the Big 12 commissioner literally came out talking shit about a team in the Big 12. Although we're leaving, I get that. But he was just not really being sportsman about it. And basically told the head coach of Texas Tech to take them out. And I was just like, that's kind of screwed. So he was trying to make us leave on a bad foot, and we left on an even better foot. So it was kind of good to see that, and the fans backing the team and the team backing the coaching staff. So it was awesome. And then on top of that, did you see the last play of the Oklahoma State game?
No, I didn't, man.
So Arch Manning finished out the game, and victory formation, took a knee, and then when you look in the backfield, you see Jonathan Brooks is on the field dressed out, and I was like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah, I did see the game.
I thought that was so freaking cool, because they wouldn't. There's no way they'd have been there without him. I mean,
no,
you know. And then he tore his ACL. Yeah, and then I saw that, you know, they allowed him to actually suit up and technically play in the Big 12 championship. That was just like one of those heartwarming stories. I was like, "Oh, that's freaking awesome!" And I can't wait to see what he does next year.
That was pretty classy, man. I did like that a lot. But yeah, dude, I mean, Texas going out as Big 12 champs in their last year with the Big 12, I think that's – and then, I mean, they haven't won it in so long, so it was a nice way to go out for sure.
Exactly.
And then not only that, but to make it to the college football playoffs on top of that. So we'll see. Season's not over, man. We got one, potentially two games left. We'll see what happens.
So what do you think is going to happen with Quinn Ewers? You think that he's going to stay another year?
Oh, dude. I don't know.
Everything's looking like he's going to come back. But if I were in that position, if I won the Natty, or I think even if I went to the Natty, I think I would go pro. because
yeah,
I wouldn't want to end up like Zach Zinter coming back senior year and, you know, potentially ruining your career with an injury. So, I mean, he said that his goal was to win the Big 12 championship, and he did. Mm-hmm. And he made it to the playoff. And so I think if I made it to the Natty, like, I think I would declare at that point. And then you got to think about your love for the team and, you know, who's behind you. You know, Arch Manning has already stated that he's not entering the transfer portal. Although everybody's telling him he needs to. I don't think he's going to, but you got to think down the stretch, you know, another year goes by if Quinn Ewers comes in and, you know, Arch Manning halfway through the season is like, you know what, screw this. You know, I wouldn't blame the guy. I mean, he could go anywhere and be a star starting tomorrow, yeah. You know, but yeah, dude, I think there's a lot of moving parts, and it's exciting to know that we have that problem. Like, that's a good problem to have, but it's interesting for sure. I just can't wait to see how it all plays out.
Yeah. I mean, you make a good point. Like, any time that you choose to stay, you always risk, because you never know what happens, man. So many things can happen in a football game.
Yeah.
He could potentially get injured, reduce his draft stock and all that stuff, so that he should take that in consideration. But he's played a hell of a season. He got the Longhorns to the Big 12 championship, potentially a spot in the national championship. Like, he's mm-hmm. done good. I think if there were ever a time to move on and declare for the draft, it'd probably be this season, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows, next season, you know, you may not play as well, season may not go as well, and
right.
that, you know, that won't bode well for draft day. But I don't know, man. And also, like, not even trying to be biased or anything, I am excited to see Arch Manning actually get some starts and play, because the glimpses that we've had of him, he's looked good, man. The kid's got a freaking cannon,
dude.
He does. For as young as he is, like, I was really surprised at like how composed he seemed to be in the plays that he's had. And I think that's one reason why I really hope he doesn't leave UT, because I think he could do well, really right. well.
I think so too.
And I mean, he's going to do well regardless of where he goes, but I just want him to do well with UT.
Exactly. Same. I want him to stay here and do well here. But I mean, and then, like, going back to Quinn Ewers, though, I mean, if you think about it, he has not played much football. You know, he only played a year and a half or 2 years in high school, graduated early to go to Ohio State, didn't play much there. So he hasn't had an extended amount of playing time at a high level to be able to hone his skills to, you know, to fare well in the pros. Do I think that he could do well in the pros? Absolutely. Do I think that he's ready right now? It's debatable. He hasn't had, you know, the 10 to 12 years of high intensity experience that some of these other guys in the pros have. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, you need to put that in consideration. And then on top of that, you got to think about the draft class, you know, think about what other quarterbacks are going to go this year and what other quarterbacks are going to go next year, and how he would fare in comparison to those quarterbacks this year or next year, and see what would look best. And then take that examination, say, okay, am I willing to risk it to stay another year if I have a higher possibility of going first round next year? I get it. But then you got to think about, well, is he ready? I don't think he's ready for the pros. But then again, if he were to be picked up by a team that has a solid quarterback and he can train for a year underneath and then, you know, possibly move up after, like, I mean, there's just so many scenarios that could play out. And so, dude, I don't know. I were him, if I won the Natty or went to the Natty, I'd probably go. If there was a potential that I'd go to a team that I wasn't going to be the starting quarterback, because in all honesty, I think Bijan Robinson kind of got screwed by going to the Falcons. But he's doing well. But it sucks to go your rookie year and just have to be the one to carry the team.
Yeah, that's always pretty tough. But I mean, yeah, like you said, there's a lot of moving parts. And that is one thing too. Like, he doesn't have a lot of experience, and you can kind of see that at times, like during the games, you can see when he kind of gets flustered and his passes start getting a little erratic and things like that. And so I mean, you make a good point. I wouldn't blame him for wanting to stay another year and kind of like tune up those things. But again, you run the risk of getting injured. Like, he got injured against Bama, you know, and that 1 year, and he's been injured before. So it's I don't know, man, it's one of those things. I don't know, dude. I can see it going either way, really.
Same.
But anyways, just I think it was just an exciting weekend for us being UT fans. So I wanted
absolutely
shoot the shit a little bit about that. But I guess we can we can move on. We are an outdoor related podcast. We just were excited about the events that transpired this past weekend.
For sure.
Huge anyways,
football fans. So
yeah. Although I mean, obviously, you could probably tell by the way we're talking, Russell is much more knowledgeable about the ins and outs of football. I just enjoy watching it. I'm just a casual consumer. But anyways, so if you happen to hear our episode last weekend, then you know what we're going to be doing this weekend. And it's the second this week is the second installment of our holiday shopping guide. Mm-hmm. So last week we talked about hunting items, and we had brackets of like price ranges and things like that. And we're going to have that same kind of format this week as well. But we changed the price ranges just because fishing related things typically aren't as expensive as hunting related things. So we've kind of switched it up a little bit. And we also included a new bracket called the stocking stuffer bracket, mm-hmm. which is our category, and it's $25 and under, and ideally would actually fit within your standard stocking.
Yep.
So that's one. And then we have $50 and under. We have $100 and under. And then we have $250 and under. And then we have $250 and over. And so those are the categories we'll be going with today. And yeah, we hope that you find these things useful. We are not sponsored by any of the companies that we will be discussing here today. Although we're always looking for sponsorships if anybody's listening. And a lot of these things are things that either we have used personally or things that we ourselves would use if given the opportunity. At least exactly. That's how we try to kind of put this thing together. So with that being said, shall we go ahead and kick it off? You want to go first,
yeah.
man?
Yeah, I can go first. We'll go ahead and start off with the $25 under stocking stuffer. And for that, my recommendation isn't a specific item. It is a specific item, but not a specific manufacturer of said item. So what I'm going to put in the stocking stuffer category is going to be a good pair of hemostats or forsteps. So if you're catching, panfish and stuff like that, all of us have done it where they just engulf it and you can't get your fingers in their mouth. And so it's hard to get the hook out. And with us being a podcast based around conservation and stuff like that, I don't like, killing an animal if I'm not going to harvest it and I'm not going to use it. So if I'm out there fishing, if I don't plan on keeping the fish, cooking the fish, I would like to have a nice, healthy release. And there's been a few times that, unfortunately, the fish does not make it when I release it. And in that case, I typically try to take it back and cook it. But hemostats or forceps can really get into small little crevices, or even if you catch a bass, even though if you can reach into its mouth, sometimes they just swallow it and it's way back there and it's close to the gills. You can use these hemostats or forceps. They're basically long, skinny pliers, and you can pull your hook out that way. So that's what I put in the stocking stuffer. There's all different kinds of them out there, but they all range around the $10 to $25 range. There are more ergonomic ones. There are locking ones, not locking ones. Some of the ones that I keep, like the ones that I keep on my kayaks, just because I kind of beat them around and they're just on a tether, I got a two set. One has straight, one has curved, and they're medical forceps or hemostats. And I think it's like $10, $12 for a set of two. So you can use those. They're stainless steel. They don't rust or anything like that. Or you can get more into the fancier side of stuff with rubberized grips and stuff that are made specifically for fishing. Montana Fly Company has a real good one. Scientific Angler has another real good one. So that's my recommendation for a good stocking stuffer for $25 and under, and it's small enough to fit in a stocking. So
nice, solid. Yeah, man. A good pair of hemostats goes a long way. I can't tell you how many times I've gone fishing at the local pond, mm-hmm. and I forget hemostats, and inevitably there's a little panfish that kind of sucks up the fly, and it's just like, damn it. And I use a stick at times, which actually works not bad.
Yeah,
it gets the job done, but hemostats would definitely be much easier.
For sure.
So I've been so now I try to have a dedicated pair of hemostats for each of my like fishing bags that I have. Mm-hmm. So I have one, and then I have spares in the vehicle as well. Like a lot of times fly shops will have like these really inexpensive, like stainless steel ones, like generic stainless steel ones, you know, by the counter or by the flies or whatever. And they're like $5 or something. And they get the job done. I have a few of those like scattered throughout different places just because you never know. But right. And I've just collected them over the years. But yeah, a really, really handy little tool. And within that same vein, I think you and I almost picked hemostats, but I went with nippers instead.
I almost went with nippers.
So for my $25 and under pick, I picked nippers specifically. And I mean, like, you don't need anything fancy. Like legitimately, you could use some fingernail clippers or whatever. There's this one called the boomerang tool, like I personally use, not like, or something. I think boomerang something, I can't remember. But specifically, the one I'm recommending is the Dr. Slick Cyclone Nippers. I believe they're a new product. They won Best Accessory in the American Fly Fishing Trade Association show. They retail at $25. And they're super nice. They have, I believe they have carbide cutters that can cut through a variety of materials, braid, monofilament, fluorocarbon, even some light bite wire and stuff like that. So pretty handy little tool. I'm trying to get some, but they're sold out in a lot of places. So try, keep an eye out for them because they are going pretty fast. But yeah, that's my recommendation.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Honey Hole did a gifting guide on their last episode that came out yesterday. And I think one of them had it on theirs, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really? I haven't listened to that episode.
Ironic
yet.
that you brought that up. Yep. But yeah, from what they were saying, they're pretty slick, if that's what they were talking about. So that's freaking awesome.
Dr. Slick. Yeah. All right. So are we doing this like snake style? Like,
yeah, we can do it snake style, kind of like we did last week. So
okay. So then I'll go. So the next category or the next bracket is $50 and under. And I have two recommendations. The first one is going to be two books, both written by Rob McConnell, a buddy of ours, and a guest who's been on the show before. He has two books written, his first being Fly Fishing the Sam, which is essentially a guidebook for fly fishing Sam Houston National Forest in Texas. That's about $15, if I'm not mistaken, on his website. And his most recent release is the Fly Fishing Houston and Southeastern Texas, which is a fantastic book. And I mean, there's a plethora of information. It's over 300 pages, and it goes into detail about the fishery, the fish that you can expect to catch, different like methods to use, flies and gear. And I mean, it's just, there's so much to it. And it recently won an award too. It'd be a great gift for the fly fishermen in your life, especially if they live in Texas or specifically in Houston. But even if they don't, I think there's still a lot that can be learned with regards to fly fishing and some of the species in there. But yeah, so that's one gift. I feel like I had to include that. But aside from that, I would include the Sims Solar Flex fishing gloves. For me here lately, like, I've been trying to take better care of my skin, whenever I'm out and about in the outdoors. So I try to wear long sleeves, all that stuff. And one of the things that I try to wear are fishing gloves. And I have been a huge fan of those Sims Solar Flex fishing gloves. They retail for $39.95, come in a variety of colors and sizes. And they're quick drying. They're just awesome, man. I love those gloves. They're super great. And if you're trying to take care of yourself, take care of your skin, which you should be doing if you're spending any amount of time in the outdoors, can't recommend those enough.
So, question about that. So I have a pair of fishing gloves, and I don't wear them very often because, when I'm going trout fishing. So typically I don't wear gloves in the summertime when it's warm outside. I normally wear gloves when it's colder, but typically when it's colder, I'm fishing for trout. And do they affect the slime coat on trout and stuff like that, and fish that are a little more sensitive?
You know, that's a really good question.
So I don't wear mine mainly because I don't want to harm the fish if I'm going to be catch and release. So I don't wear my gloves when I fish for trout. And I may be completely wrong. It may not harm them at all. It actually might be better for them, you know, because there's not oils on them like in our skin. But I always wet my hand, grab the fish, release the fish. And I'm worried that wearing gloves with a trout would affect their slime coat. So for those of you that are fly fishermen or trout fishermen out there, if you know the answer to that, please message us or comment, because I honestly don't know the answer.
Man, now you have me thinking, dude. I have never thought about that. Huh.
I mean, to your defense, you don't fish for trout very often, so.
Yeah, that's true, too. I don't. Even when they stuck the guad, I'll go maybe once just to kind of scratch that itch, and I really won't go again because it's not really my game, I guess. But, I don't know. I can't imagine that it would – Sims being a fishing company, can't imagine they would sell something that would be harmful to fish.
Right.
But then again, you know, there's not exactly instructions that come with it. Like, are you supposed to take them off when you handle fish, put them back on? Like, I don't know. That's a good question. It's a very good question.
I might look into that, and if I do find an answer or any science behind it, I will make a post on Instagram and Facebook. But yeah, it was just a question that came to mind. I was like, I wonder if that does affect them.
Yeah, interesting.
So, and also to Rob's book, I pulled the award here. It is the 2023 silver medalist of the National Outdoor Book Award, and that's for Fly Fishing Houston in southeastern Texas. So congrats, man. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, dude.
So... Well, for my $50 and under, I actually decided to put a boat box on there. And so for those of y'all who don't know what a boat box is, it's a larger fly box. I specifically put the Umpqua one on there. It's $44. You can find different kinds. You know, they have ones you can find on Amazon for like $25 and whatnot. I like Umpquas maybe mainly because of the color. The color is like this. It's almost the color of, I'll say, shirt if you guys are watching a video on this. It's just a real, like, you know, light blue color. It's pretty cool. But a boat box is great for streamers, which me and Jose, we love throwing streamers more than we like, you know, throwing nymphs and dry flies and stuff. So we're always tying up a bunch of streamers, and there's nothing worse than having a fly box that's too small for your big bulky streamers. And when you close it in there, they get all deformed. It messes with, you know, the way that the fly works in the water. It messes with the presentation. It messes with so many things. So if you don't have a fly box big enough to hold your big bulky streamers, it can actually affect your fishing quite a bit. So I like these boat boxes. They're a larger profiled box, and they're deep, but they also have little locks on the sides, so they're secure. They also have some foam on the outside to where you can actually put your flies. So like, say you're sitting on the boat or you're on a kayak or anything like that, you can actually have your box sitting there, and it has the foam on the outside where you can put your flies to let them dry before you throw them back in the box. So they're just an all around great thing for if you're going to be on the water, whether you're on a kayak, a boat, or you're just fishing from the bank and you're not moving too much, you can just let it sit there. So I think that's a great option for anything under $50.
Solid, man. Solid.
Yeah, you have an Uncle One, don't you?
No, I don't. I don't have a boat box because I don't have a kayak. I don't have like a vessel that would, it would make, you know, it would make sense. It wouldn't make sense for me to have one, but
I think Marco has one. I think that's who I remember seeing one.
I would think him or Danny.
Yeah.
I bet you anything Danny has one. That dude's got all kinds of stuff.
Right, he has all sorts of gear.
Yeah, what's up, Danny? We need to have you on sometime, buddy, if you're listening.
Right? But yeah, so for those of you that are streamer junkies or out there, or if you just have a few streamers and, you know, you need a place to put them, it's a good thing to do. And the box floats, so that's just another good thing about it. If it does fall off of your boat, your kayak, it actually floats, so you can paddle over to it and pick it up. So very that's nice. My $50. Sweet. And I guess next would be the $100 and under. For that one, I actually chose this one more towards the fly fishing side. So like I wanted to try to keep it more, you know, fishermen in general, not just fly fishing. But as we're getting more expensive, I noticed that I kind of narrowed it into fly fishing. So for the fly tire would be my 100 and under gift. So I chose the Loon Core Kit, and it comes with scissors, bobbin, finisher, pliers, and a bodkin. And that typically runs $60 to $90, depending on if they're running sales or anything like that. And they have them in black and yellow. And it's a real ergonomic tool set. And so you can find other tool sets that will get you by. So if you're a beginner and you're trying to get into fly tying, this may not be the kit for you because it's a little bit more pricey than some of those cheaper ones out there. But if you know somebody that's a fly tire and they have an older kit, or they complain about, you know, their bodkin isn't sharp, or maybe their whip finisher squeaks too much, or it isn't loose enough when they're trying to whip finish a fly, like, or their scissors are getting dull. I think this is a great kit to choose for somebody that has been tying before, or maybe wants to upgrade or anything like that. And it's still fairly inexpensive when it, you know, in the realm of fly tying kits. So Yeah, the Loon Core Kit has basically everything that you would need and the most used tools. So
nice.
Do you use Loon for your tools?
I do use a lot of Loon products.
Same.
I love the product.
Fits in your hand. So, like, I don't know what it is about the way that they design it, but it just, everything seems to fit in your hand so much better than some of the cheaper stuff that I've had.
They're bigger bobbins. It took me a while to get used to them, but I love them. I have a few different ones now, and I like the size at first. It took some getting used to, but once I got used to it, man, they're so comfortable, so easy to use. I really like Loon products. I have other like products from other brands, but I would say like probably upwards of 85% of the tools that I use are from Loon.
Nice.
Yeah, they're pretty solid, man. I love their
stuff. I like how big the bobbin is because it fits in my hand to the point where my ring finger and pinky sit perfectly on the spool of thread. And so if I'm tying, you know, like something that I'm going to be using for pickerel or something like that, I can actually really tension down on that line by holding it with my two rear fingers, and it just tensions it, and I can tie it so much tighter around the hook. And it's just, it's almost like a natural movement to just adjust the pressure that I have on there when I'm making my wraps.
Yeah, man. And with those bigger ones, like the way that I guess my hand sits, or the way it sits in my hand, it's really easy to squeeze the arms to add some pressure when you really need to crank something down or whatever.
Yeah,
it's super nice. I like that a lot. Can't really do that with some of my other bobbins, but I do like that.
Yeah, I've had a couple other small ones that it's a little bit harder to do with.
Yeah,
and I'm sure it makes a big difference when you're like spinning deer hair and stuff. I've never tied very many with deer hair, but I bet that makes a big difference.
I have a different bobbin for when I'm really trying to like work with deer hair specifically. But I have used them before for working with deer hair, and I really like it, man. They're awesome stuff. Their scissors are great too. I love their scissors.
Same.
And I like their hair stackers, because it's like a lot of the, I guess, more inexpensive ones, they have like two pieces. Like it's like a little tube. And it works, but what I like about the Loon is like the base kind of swings open, so it's still attached to the thing, so you can just stack it and then you swing it open and then you can just, you know, pick your hair out. It's really, really nice. I like the awesome hair stackers a lot. Yeah, man. And they come in different sizes too.
Oh, they do. Nice.
I need to get a smaller one for like making wings on for Lano bugs and stuff like that. I just have the big one, bigger one.
I see. Yeah, I've never really had to stack much. I've tied a few like elk hair caddis and stuff like that, and I've kind of rigged my way around trying to hold it between my fingers and tap it on the table, so I definitely could use a stacker, but I've never used one before.
Sometimes I won't, dude. Like if I'm tying for me and I don't really care about how it looks, I'll just kind of stack it, like hand stack it.
Yeah,
but if I'm trying to make it look pretty or tying for somebody else, and I'll be a little more conscientious of how these things look and use those stuff. But solid pick, man. That loon set's sweet.
Yeah, it is. I like it. I didn't know they made it in black. When I looked online, I was like, oh crap, they're making it in black. That's pretty sweet looking. I have the yellow kit.
Dude, the black tools look nice. I think I have maybe one bobbin that's black. The rest are yellow. And the black one looks sick.
They do. They're freaking awesome.
They are pretty sweet. So, okay, I guess it's my turn now. Let me pull up my list. Sorry, guys. Okay, under 100. So kind of like Russell, I'm trying to keep it very general to fishermen, just in general, not trying to gear it towards fly fishermen. I heard about this company when I started getting more into fly fishing, but they have stuff for like hunters and just general outdoors people. So I don't think they cater specifically to fly fishing people. People who fly fish, but and they have a lot of cool stuff. Like I would just recommend you and encourage you to go to the website, because there's two things specifically that they make that I would recommend. And the company is called Sightline Provisions. They're based in Austin, Texas. So me being in Texas, I try to support like local companies when I can, this being one of them. They make some really, really sweet bracelets, and they have them in different designs. Redfish, bass, I mean, permit tarpon, like all kinds of stuff. They have some hunting themed ones. They have one with a bike if you like to bike. They have some with hiking and camping themed things too. So if you have some, and they range in price from like $45 and up, just kind of depending on the design and the materials used. They also have a really cool flask. They did a collaboration with Whiskey Leatherworks, and so they have like a copper flask with a leather sleeve with one of their with a variety, like three or four different badges that they have on the leather part, which are pretty sweet. Those are like $95, I think. But yeah, they have some really, really cool stuff. So if you know anybody who likes the outdoors in general, but they have a lot of really cool fishing related things, definitely check them out. They have some great stuff. I used to have, I don't know what happened to them, man. I used to have two bracelets. I used to have a redfish one, because redfish is one of my favorite fish. And I don't know what I did with it. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it for months. The other one I had, dude, I know they had a, like a limited edition bluegill one. And I love fishing for bluegill. And I left it at one of the ranches that we were working at. And I haven't seen it since. I know, dude. I'm pretty bummed about that, because I haven't seen one made anymore. They used to have a Rio Grande cichlid one. That thing was sick. And I always told myself I was going to buy it, and I never did. And now they don't make it anymore. Damn, so I'm hoping, dude, I know. I'm hoping that they do like another like batch, another limited release or something. Because if they come out with a Rio Grande cichlid one again, I'm going to buy it.
That would be freaking awesome. Cool, I love Rios.
Oh, I know, dude. And but yeah, they have all kinds of cool designs. They have some that are like gold. They have some that are like that are silver. They have the bracelets that are like thick banded, some that are thin. They have all kinds of stuff, man. They even make necklaces if you'd rather if they don't like wearing bracelets, but maybe like a necklace. Mm-hmm. So I would just encourage you to check out their website and just kind of comb through their stuff. And I mean, they have a lot of really cool stuff.
That's awesome. That's a pretty solid pick.
Thank you, sir.
So what do you got for your 250 and under?
Oh, man. 250 and under. This one was actually really tough for me. I could not for the life of me find something that was like general fishing. And something that would be usable, I guess. It was really interesting without like trying to recommend like rods and reels, because I could think of a bunch of rods and reels to recommend within that price range. But
yeah,
I realized not everybody's a fly fisherman. Not everybody's conventional fisherman. So I was trying to be as generous as possible to kind of include everybody. So with that being said, Fish Pond traditionally is a like fly fishing company. I would say like they make a lot of stuff for fly fishermen. But they make a waterproof backpack. It's a Fish Pond Wind River Roll Top. You don't have it. I mean, it's not like you don't have to be a fly fisherman to use it. They're great stuff. I'm a big fan of Fish Pond. They're big in sustainability. So I think this bag is made out of recycled materials, which I think is really, really sweet. They include a gear strap. So if you want to carry like a net or a rod tube, and you can buy more gear straps too. So they can do that. Foam padding on the shoulder straps and on the back. They have interior organization, which is a feature that's not included in a lot of roll top style backpacks, I think, which is a feature that I really like. They have different attachment points for different accessories. And then if you like Fish Pond products, they're also compatible with some of their other like chest packs and things like that. So you can have like if you were to, you know, I guess get a system, you know, you could put your important stuff in the back, like, I don't know, rain gear or camera gear, whatever the case may be. And then you can have like a chest pack where you have all your fishing necessities, fly boxes, nippers, and all that stuff. So it's a pretty cool little system, but specifically I'm recommending the roll top bag. Pretty cool little bag, and they come in, I don't know if they come in different colors, but pretty sweet little pack, man. I dig it a lot.
Nice. I love waterproof anything and everything, because I'm always carrying some type of electronics, whether it be a drone or a camera or battery packs or anything like that. And so keeping stuff waterproof is definitely paramount to when I'm trying to capture stuff outdoors. So that's a solid damn good pick. I like waterproof packs. So, and kind of with yours, you know, I was trying to stay general, but I kind of faltered in this category. I was just like, I was having a hard time trying to find something 250 and under that was relatable. So I just went ahead and throw out a company that we have a good working relationship with. I use a lot of their gear. So I'm going to go ahead and recommend the Tempo Fork Outfitters TFO Black Label NXT kit. So that kit MSRP is $229. So that's what it retails for. You can find sales on it. I've seen it as low as $169 before. But it's an all around solid kit. It's not going to be your top of the line kit. It's not going to be, you know, anything that you're going to, you know, it's not like TFO does have top of the line stuff. They have a lot more expensive rods, a lot more expensive reels, but this is kind of a middle of the road. If you have somebody that's an avid fly fisherman or somebody that's just trying to get into it, it's a great rod for them. So somebody that is like a solid fly fisherman and does it all the time, this is the kind of rod that they might want to just keep in the truck. You know, you're not going to want a high end Sage or, you know, some of the other rods with TFO that are, you know, $300, $400, $500, $600, $700 just for a rod. You don't want to keep that in your vehicle kind of bouncing around. But this kit here, because the price isn't as much, even though the quality is still good, it's something that you'd be more likely to just keep under your seat and or in the toolbox of your truck. So this is kind of more of a middle range. It's a moderate action rod. They have it. Actually, they used to only have it in 5 and 8. Now I think they have it in 4, 5, 6, and 8. Mm-hmm. And it comes pretty much ready to fish. So it has a rod. It has a reel. It comes in a travel case. It has padding over the reel, and it's a hard tube for the rod. Comes with the backing, comes with fly line. And so all you need to do is just be able to put a leader, tip it and fly, and you're ready to go and fish. So it's a great kit. If somebody's wanting to get into it, it's a cheaper end rod for somebody that wants to get into fly fishing, but it's also stiff enough to where it can actually cast, and it can help you learn the issues that you have in your casting when you're first starting to learn. You know, some people go and just find this, you know, cheap flimsy rod from Walmart, and you can get better with that, but it's better if you have a rod that can show you your faults. And I feel like this is a great rod for that because it is a moderate action. You can actually feel when stuff loads properly, and it just helps you realize how you're supposed to be casting. So I think it would be a great one for a beginner also. So it's it typically runs $229. If you get the 8 weight, I believe it's $239. But in the holiday season, you can definitely find sales.
Yeah, for sure. That's actually a really great pick. And I actually have a friend who's been wanting to try and get into fly fishing, and she asked me what rods and reels and things I'd recommend. And that TFO combo was one of the ones that I recommended. They're a great company with a fantastic warranty and arguably one of the best in the business. Mm-hmm. And the rods themselves, they're, like you said, they're nothing fancy. They're nothing like a Sage or some of the higher end TFO stuff, but you know, a fish ain't going to tell a difference. And it's a rod that you probably won't outgrow too quickly, you know? And exactly. You can keep it in, you know, if you happen to buy it and you feel like you want to upgrade, you can always keep that as a backup, keep in the truck, or keep it as a spare for people to come along and use whenever you're taking folks out fishing. Solid, solid pick, solid rod. I've casted a few. I like the way they cast. Russell actually has, I think, the 8-way version caught a massive carp on that sucker. Yeah. And it didn't let up at all. It's a great rod.
It is. I really enjoy mine. I have a plethora of TFO gear. But I would say I probably use that one the most whenever I'm going to be traveling somewhere. Like when I went to Alaska, I took, if I'm not mistaken, I think I took my Pro 3 and I took my NXT. And the main reason I took the NXT is because I wasn't as worried about it getting damaged or anything like that, going through multiple airports and having to transfer planes and all that, being somewhere that I'm, you know, not familiar with. I didn't know if I was going to be getting into brush or if it was going to be open where I was going to be fishing. So I figured it would be a good rod for me to take because it could still get the job done. It could still handle big fish. But at the same time, I'm not worried about it. It's not like it's a $700 rod where it's like, well, crap, I just broke that when I'm on vacation and don't have anything to fish with. So yeah. It's a great all around rod.
For sure. Solid pick, man.
Thank you, Seth. And so I guess that brings us to the final section, which would be 250 and over. And like I was saying, as we get higher and higher, fly fishing gear is typically more expensive. So it got so much harder to pick gear that's not for fly fishing. But I feel like I did a good job at that. So I feel like conventional fishermen, hikers, fly fishermen, hunters, anybody that's going to be doing anything in wet areas can use this gift. So I chose the Corker's River Ops wading boots because it has a BOA system. They're insulated. They are wading boots that are meant to be fully submerged with waders, or you can wet wade in them. So in the summer times, if the water's not too cold in your region, you can actually go wet wading. You don't need waders. Just put on some neoprene socks and you're good to go. On these specific boots, they have the BOA system. So it has a knob on the front of the tongue and you can just twist it to tighten them up and it just cinches. And they're so comfortable on your feet because of that. Corkers also has a removable, outer sole. And so depending on where you're going to be fishing, you can actually get studded ones. You can get rubber ones. You can get felt ones. I like the felt ones because I have a set of Corkers and I wear the felt ones when I'm going to the Little Mo, which I had talked about previously, because I have a habit of falling in the water and the water's cold. It's a cold water release at a dam. Normally I go in the wintertime to fish for trout and it's cold outside and there's nothing worse than getting water in your waders when it's that cold.
Oh yeah. That sucks. Yeah.
So, the felt bottoms actually help you, you know, keep traction on slippery like limestone and stuff like that. The thing that I will say about the felt bottom wader or boots is you need to make sure that you keep them clean. You don't need to be transferring, you know, zebra snails or anything like that. Zebra mussels, sorry, to other bodies of water. And there's a lot of things that will be invasive. So you need to make sure you keep them clean because things will stick to them. But other than that, I mean, they're great. You can find studded ones. I think Corkers even has some where it has big aluminum bars on it and then studs on top of that for areas that you really need to get some grip. So just replaceable outsoles to be able to, you know, handle whatever type of water you're going to be on. The BOA system's freaking amazing. They're black, so they look cool and they can go with anything if you worry about style. So, and those typically run, $299 is where they start. So, nice. That's my recommendation for 250 and over.
Sweet, dude. Yeah. Those Corkers are awesome. The wading boots I have now right now are just like some cheaper Reddingtons. Mm-hmm. One day I'll get some nicer Corkers.
Dude, I love my Corkers.
I try to keep like an eye out for sales and stuff, but it's like they always have the sales when I don't have the money. And as a grad student, we don't make a lot. So I gotta try and, you know, be realistic about how much I can spend, and even then, like, it's just never really pans out, but one day,
man. They are a premium product, you know. Yeah. They're not for something if you're not going to be spending some time outside and it's not something you do very often. They're a pricey product, so, you know, I wouldn't get it if you're just like a one time a year type of person going out there. But if you spend a lot of time in the water, having comfortable footwear that actually gets the job done and gives you good traction is paramount. So I recommend Corkers for that reason.
Corkers make some solid stuff.
They do.
And kind of like you, dude, I really struggle with this category. There's so many ways I wanted to go. I was thinking about glasses, but the problem with glasses is like you got to know the person's style and this and that. Yeah. And it's just like if you're trying to surprise them, it's kind of risky.
Exactly.
Unless you take them and like, all right, you know, pick out what you want, whatever. But so the only thing that I could think of that. Actually, there. After thinking, like really thinking about, there are a few different things. But the thing I settled on, trying to be as general as possible and include everybody, is the TurtleBox portable outdoor speaker. Those things are pretty dope. I know a lot of people who go like outdoors. They try not to like bring the distractions of the outside world, so like they don't really like to listen to music and all that stuff. But like if you're at camp, or maybe you dock some, like, or maybe you like pulled off to the side of the river for a quick lunch, you just kind of want to jam out or whatever the case may be. Maybe you're cruising down the Texas coast and you want to just chill on a little island somewhere, you know, bust out some tunes. This thing is pretty freaking sweet. They retail, depending on the style, the colors and things like that, anywhere from $399 to $449. They are waterproof. They can reach up to 120 decibels. They can run up to 20 plus hours on a single charge. They have stainless steel tie down, so you can strap it down to your boat so it doesn't fly off or anything like that. They can also charge your phone and other devices, which is pretty sweet if you're out in the wild or out in the wilderness.
All right, Mike Tyson.
They have a mic and auxiliary input, and they have an LED control panel. Dude, these things are freaking sweet. I want one so bad. So if you like to go camping, or if you want to you and your buddies are going to go canoeing down the river or kayaking or whatever the case may be, or you're just, you know, spending some time out with the family or your significant other and you want to, you know, have some tunes while you're out there and you don't want to get it damaged, this thing's waterproof, good sound quality, awesome product.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've seen a few people on the water with those things, and I'm like, God, those things are freaking awesome. I've never used one myself, but they look pretty sweet. And they put out some good sound.
There's a, I can't remember what fly, I think it might have been the Fly Trap. They sell them. And I walked in one day, and I couldn't find out where the music was coming from. And it was actually coming from those turtle boxes. It sounded really, really good, man.
That's awesome.
There's a place here in town, here in Cost Station, they actually had one. I think they sell them too there, and they sell out so fast. And they had their music playing playing in the shop too. That thing is pretty freaking sweet, man. I was really impressed with how clear the sound is, considering it's like waterproof and stuff. I don't really know how all that works, but it's pretty sweet, man.
It is. Dude, there's some crazy waterproof speakers out there that, like, the sound quality is just like, how do you make that waterproof? Like, it's just, I mean, obviously they have engineers for that, but yeah, dude, it's freaking crazy how waterproof some of these things can get.
Oh, I know, man. That's pretty wild.
So do you have any honorable mentions or anything, and maybe a different price range that you wanted to throw in there?
Honorable mentions. Let me think about that. If you have anything, man, you can go for it. Let me ponder really quick.
So you were talking about Sims earlier. They make all sorts of different gear outside, and they have a new arrival, a new kind of waiter that's more of a form-fitting waiter that is apparently extremely, extremely comfortable. And since we did a 500 plus last week, I figured I would do a 500 plus this week as an honorable mention. And so these are called the Sims Confluence stocking foot waders, and they look freaking sweet. Have you seen them yet?
No, I haven't.
Dude, if you go to their website, they look freaking awesome. And so they come in, I think if I'm not mistaken, they start at $599. But so they're a premium product, but dude, they look freaking sweet. And all the reviews say that they're extremely comfortable. They're a little bit more form fitting than some of the other waders. The waders that I have, I believe I have a White River brand from Cabela's or Bass Pro, and they're just kind of bulky and floppy. But these Confluence ones, they look freaking sweet. Someday I'll have a nice pair of waders. I get by with what I have now, but I want to get some nice insulated waders, especially if I'm going to be doing anything up north or going out west and, you know, fishing for some big browns in Wyoming or anything like that. So, those for those that are experienced outdoors, men and women, whether they're going to be duck hunting or wading in some cold waters, I would highly recommend Sims for waders. And these ones just happen to be their new arrival.
Nice. I'll have to check those out, man. Not that I could afford them, but
right.
I have some Reddington ones right now. I got them on sale. I got them on sale when we were going to New Mexico for that trip. Dude, those
are the ones that come in the bag?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are sweet.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're not like Sims, obviously, but they are I've been happy with them. Kind of like you. One day I hope to get like a premium set of waders.
Yeah.
But I don't be living in Texas. I don't fish a lot in the cold. I think I'd probably use them maybe like a handful of times a year. So I don't think it makes sense for me personally. But if I live where you live, like in Arkansas or out west somewhere, then for sure it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I hope that I'm going to be traveling a lot more up north, out west, and stuff like that to be able to get on some more cold water fisheries. So maybe someday.
Okay. I have an honorable mention. I can't really put a price on it because it'll vary depending. But it's not so much a gift. I mean, it can be a gift for sure, but it's not like a thing. It's more of an experience. So a fishing trip.
Oh, whether absolutely.
Whether you're into fly fishing or not, conventional, whatever, a fishing trip, a guided fishing trip. And it can range depending on who the guide is, where you're at, what you're fishing for, how long you want to be on the water. That's an experience that both you, like if you're buying it for somebody, a lot of times that's something you guys can do together. So it can be a shared experience, something that, you know, but it's also like something like that you can make memories with. You know, if they have kids, you want to take the kids, whatever. It's a gift that can keep on giving for years, so to speak, with those memories that you guys make. So
exactly.
And you also you can, you know, if it's like a fishery that you want to learn, going with a good guide and gaining that knowledge is also like a gift in and of itself. Like you can learn quite a bit, a lot, and reduce that learning curve too if you have a good guide. So there's a lot to be said about a good guided fishing trip experience, but that could be a pretty sweet gift as well.
Yes, it definitely can. And that, I mean, you can get a guide for anywhere. You can get wading guides to take you to go catch gar in a creek, all the way up to going deep sea and going on marlin and tuna runs and stuff like that. Like, there's so many different levels you can go and get a guide for fishing. Me and Jose actually went out with a guy named Kyle Bogard with Eddie Line. I think it's Eddie Line Drifters Fly Fishing, and he put us on some fish, and he's a great guy. So if you're in the Northwest Arkansas region, I definitely recommend looking him up. I'll put his link in the description. But yeah, a fly fishing trip or a fishing trip in general, I think would be great.
Yeah, that the guy that he mentioned, I mean, that was the first guided trip that I had ever been on. And it was such a cool experience, man. That dude was, not only was he a cool dude, but he was incredibly knowledgeable. And on that trip, Russell and I both caught our first brown trout. Russell caught an incredibly beautiful and a good size cutthroat too. And that
was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a great experience. I mean, I can't say enough good things, especially if you have a good guide, like a cool guide. It's an awesome experience.
Exactly. So, man, why do we always say this? We're going to have a short episode and we're an hour in.
Holy shit. Sorry. I didn't realize it. I don't know. Sorry guys for lying to you.
Yeah. We're just a bunch of liars over here. We say it's going to be a short episode.
I legitimately didn't think it was going to take that long. I was like, we just got to go through a list. Like how long could that take? But apparently it takes an hour.
We get off on side conversations. That's our typical thing to do. So, but yeah, man, like I guess hopefully these gift guides are helping you guys out. And if they're not the gifts that you want to get somebody, hopefully they can inspire some other gifts or something within the realm of what these are. And hopefully they can help you get the people in your life, people that you care about, something that they would love. So if you guys have any questions about any of the products or have any other recommendations, we would love to hear them. So feel free to, you know, message us on Facebook, Instagram, or comment on some of the posts. And we'd love to hear what you guys have to say.
Absolutely. And if you do happen to purchase any of these gifts for that outdoors person in your life, dude, we'd love to see some photos of the products in action or the reactions, whatever. If we were able to be of any assistance to you guys, I think it'd be pretty sweet to see that. But yeah, so next week we're going to have a different category, different price brackets. I think since we covered hunting and this week was fishing, we're probably going to do like hiking or camping, or maybe group them together. I'm not sure, because a lot of times people we'll hike and camp in the same trip. So
exactly.
We'll probably just do that and try and get that out in time for Christmas shopping. But so we appreciate you guys hanging with us this long. Sorry we lied to you. Sorry it was longer than we expected it to be, but we hope it was of some use. Hopefully you enjoyed it, and we'll tune in some next time for the next installment of our Christmas holiday gift shopping guide. Whatever.
We need to nail down what we're actually gonna call this thing.
I think we're getting like three or four different names already, but anyways,
right?
See you guys.
Well, thank y'all for listening to the end, and we'll catch y'all next time.
This has been Wildlife Outdoors. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Facebook at Wildlife Outdoors and on Instagram at wild.life.outdoors. Let's go live life on the wild side.